You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. I'm Tony Marita, Vice President of Planter Development for Send Network. And my guest today is my good friend, Dr. Doug Logan. Doug is the Send Network Director of Urban Planter Development. Doug planted and pastored Epiphany Fellowship Church in Camden, New Jersey. Before that, he served with Dr. Eric Mason as the Connections Pastor of Epiphany Fellowship in Philadelphia. Currently, he is the pastor of church planting at Remnant Church in Richmond, Virginia. He is also the author of On the Block, Developing a Biblical Picture for Missional Engagement, as well as numerous articles and other books. Doug and his wife, Angel, have been married since 1996, and they have three sons. And how many grandchildren, Doug?
Four grandchildren now. Newest one was born about a week ago.
Okay. It's amazing. So Doug and I have, we've been around the world together, literally. It seems not to every country, of course, but we have traveled far and wide together. We've done a number of things together related to theological education. We've been together in various leadership circles, and he is a new member of my team at on the planter development team. And Doug's specialty, as you heard in the bio, is urban church planting. And if you don't know Doug, I like to say that you really can't explain Doug Logan. You only can experience Doug Logan because my vocabulary at least doesn't have the range to cover all that is Doug Logan. And to put him in context, I love to just say, like, he was lived in Camden, you know, was planting there. But before he was a Christian, he owned a barbershop. And you can just imagine this guy in Camden, New Jersey, also raising pit bulls. And the Lord saved him, made him a church planter. And that's also just a great testimony, good reminder to all of us listening to this, wherever you're listening to this. I like to say that I think our best church planters are not even Christians yet. And we never know where the Lord might go snatch a guy up and put him on this path. And so praise be to God today for the gospel. Dr. Logan, great to have you on the podcast.
So great to be here, Bishop Marita, man. It's exciting first to be on the team with you. And I mean, what a great team. And always encouraged to talk about urban church planting. And I always say that the Great Commission says reaching all nations. I like to add all nations and neighborhood, and then for us through our network.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great, man. Hey, urban environments can be really diverse and complex, as you know. How do you go about understanding the unique characteristics and needs of urban communities?
Well, Dr. Eric Mason always taught me, he said, Doug, you got to exegete the city. Just like we exegete the text, we pull from it what's actually in it. We don't superimpose our ideologies or our non-researched understanding into a sermon. You can't do that in the context of the city. So I believe we do, you know, city data online, all types of demographic studies, but we also have to walk, talk, speak, meet, engage with living human people on the block. We have to be about meeting and understanding the historical brokenness, the listen to people's stories, the current mystery identity cults, the current devils, the old devils, the current joys, the hopes. And that's only going to come through relationship building conversations.
Hey, let the listeners know a little bit about your church plant in New Jersey to give them what we're talking about urban, and when you're talking about on the block Give them a sense of the experience that you had there as a church planner.
Well, yeah, we like to break that down from, you know, urban has become so broad. And let me break it down to there's center city urban, which Dr. Keller preached in Manhattan. Then there's inner city urban, which is the cracks and crevices of Detroit and Flint and East St. Louis, Illinois. And for me, I grew up in Paterson, New Jersey, and Camden, New Jersey. That's the urban poor, primarily African-American and Latino communities. Of course, white folk are there as well. But we're talking high crime, high drugs. We're talking high violence, in poverty, high concentration of poverty, and a life and multiple life cycles of poverty, generational poverty that are deeply ingrained into the regular culture of the community. Camden, New Jersey led in murder for many years and had some of the highest illiteracy, the highest violence, highest murder rate all throughout the city, and had it historically was like that. And so, yeah, we're talking about depressed, violent, poor communities that are in such need and such great opportunities for gospel witness.
Mm, yeah. And urban areas, they present unique challenges, right? You've got the high cost to think about, and then the danger that in certain contexts. Talk a little bit about that. Like, how do we deal with that? I think it's important. Doug and I were at a conference recently where we were just talking about the need to consider how to fund guys in urban areas and just the high cost, the need, and that if they plant a church in violent poor areas, it's going to take a long time for that church planter to get self-sufficient. So just talk a little bit about the dynamics of these challenges of high cost and being in a poor area, perhaps, and in a violent area.
Yeah, I think that, Dr. Tone, we have to consider this comprehensive call of gospel ministry through the Great Commission, through the Great Witness, Acts 1:8, that when we get there, it's as we think about all nations and neighborhoods, each neighborhood is unique, and inner cities have their unique brokenness that force, and they must facilitate a longer term developing, if you move into a pretty house, you just need some paint to make it what it ain't. But if you move into an actual broken house, then you need a real contractor to come in there and fix the cracks, the crevices, the brokenness, the floorboards, get the roaches and do all that stuff. You can't get no little corny contractor to come in and quickly paint the little pretty house. You need a church planter construction agent who's going to come in there and do the hard, long work of construction and reconstruction. So, yes, it elevates the cost. For a longer term, it elevates the cost, and for a longer term, meaning the standard is you support church planters in most networks and denominations for 3 years so they get the self-support. But when you're in a city where the average median income is 70% lower than the remainder of the suburban surrounding areas, well, you can't cook the same piece of meat in the oven at 100 degrees and 500 degrees, and they both be done at the same time. Therefore, we have to contextualize each case for case in each city to strategize a contextualized, tailor-made vision and mission. And in the inner city, that's going to require longer-term support, higher money, and also training support opportunities and partners that are not going to tap out, but they're going to stay for the long haul.
Mm, yeah, that's good. I think another challenge of urban context is the fast-paced nature of city life, everything from traffic, you know, to the commuting maybe across town to the job or whatever it is. Like how do you approach discipleship in light of those challenges? I remember talking to a church planner one time in Lagos, Nigeria, which I think still is the largest city on the whole continent of Africa. And he's just like, man, the idea of just getting people to the church midweek is impossible. I know not everybody's city is Lagos, but like, how do you approach discipleship or think about discipleship in these urban spaces?
For me, I was much like an Uber driver. You know, a lot of people would be like, Diddy, you know, everybody call me Pastor Diddy. So they'd be like, Diddy, man, I got to run over here. Can you give me a ride? And those rides often allowed me to share the gospel in the conversation about whatever they were dealing with, from work to disability to doctor visits to job interviews. I was able to, you know, grab some folk, give a ride, run around. And then even in my ministry, I would ask some of the younger guys on the block to come hang with me and help me in different things. And while they were rolling with me around, I was hitting them in the head with that gospel, loving on them. And Dr. Tone, I want to add that to the point of the violence and the poverty and the brokenness and the high transient, high traffic challenges that the inner city faces, that pastor needs his own counseling and he needs real vacations and his family needs real support. Because of the violent nature, I personally experienced the level of PTSDs and nightmares and night terrors that really disrupted my whole well-being, my emotional and spiritual well-being, that had me rock. So, you know, I'm talking about riding around like an Uber, but you're hearing some real problems, some real murder, some real violence, bullets going through my house, some real stuff. And so often in the midst of it, you don't feel the tension and the pain that's being applied to your being and your soul. Mm-hmm. But after you sit down for a second, you feel it. So one thing that nobody's factoring in is the deep need for regular counsel and maybe upped a little bit more from other contexts, counsel for the urban planter in the midst of all discipleship and evangelism. He's normally heard some of the most violent, horrific stories he's ever heard in his life. So he too is going to be counseling to have long-term effectiveness.
Yeah. I was about to say, yeah. So when you think about supporting a church planter in one of these contexts, you would say one of the things churches ought to think about is how to bring that planter back to their church, love on him, serve him, give them counseling, or send a team of counselors. You're speaking about that need for ongoing soul care and support, and making sure the planter is healthy. That's something that we should be planning on doing as sending churches, right?
Yes, and as we're sinned, and as urban church plant development, that's going to be front loaded into our strategy, as which comes through everything IDC, Imago Dei Church, and which you, Pastor, has done for the Adams and for the different guys that have planted out of you. We have to make that not an anomaly or special, but it has to be the normative reality for churches. So yes, that has to be front loaded. And that Antioch church, which I think Paul had when he would come into Antioch, I bet you they had a nice posturpedic bed for him to recline on and chill, prayed over him and got him a good little lamb chop or something to help him feel better, prayed for him, loved on him, and got him off his flip-flops for a minute and cared for his soul. So we have to do that as the normative reality of as we play an Antiochish role in sending churches.
Last question on dynamics. We could talk about these things for a long time, but the urban context is ever changing, right? It's not a set context. Season to season, things change. How do you maintain, or why should one want to maintain flexibility and adaptability in their church plant to respond to the changes in urban contexts?
Oh yeah, well that's just the nature of the inner city. It's almost the nature of cities, period. But the nature of the inner city is ever fast moving. I'll give you an example. When I was in pastoring in Kensington in Philadelphia, the average person, I mean, like 75% of that community rented, and the average lease time of people living in those rented places was like 18 months. So people moved to a community. They were so transient. They were in and out in 18 months. So I had to get that gospel in as strong and as quick and build relationships almost with a microwave mentality, not a marathon mentality. And so you have to be flexible, discipleship flexible. That's why you got to go from Uber driver to loaning lawnmowers and always having a cookout, some hot dogs and hamburgers ready to have a convo. Because I can tell you, I talked to somebody at 9 in the morning, at 9 in the morning about coming to the house because I hadn't seen him at church. And I heard he was wilding and tripping. By 12 o'clock, he was dead, shot 17 times. Things move fast, man. Things move fast from evictions to death. We have to be flexible and we have to almost dismiss all of our so-called traditional, and we have to adopt the posture of a missionary in a bootleg war zone, if you will, where we are going hard to see people come to know Jesus because we don't know if they're going to be alive.
Talking to Dr. Doug Logan, Sin Network's Director of Urban Planter Development. Man, thank you so much for taking some time to be on the podcast today. Appreciate you, brother, big time. Appreciate your contribution, not just to our network, but to the broader church in general. You've got some books coming out soon. You want to mention one or two of those?
Yeah, well, Jeff Metters and I wrote a book called Tipping Our Hat to the Bishop Charles Spurgeon. It's called The Soul Winning Church. Which I'm very, very excited about. It's almost done. We was looking at covers, so that's wonderful. Second, I've been working on a book called Spiritual Fathers, which I think is a great need. Of course, Paul was the super duper spiritual father. And I want to bring that and introduce that into our sphere of ministry where that can be much more utilized to hopefully grow the character of church planters and a long-term sustainability through relationships and support. Another one I got called Missional Living, which I'm really, really excited about, that we're going to be getting released, just about living missionally in your life. And then the fourth is The Least, Last, and the Loss, which, man, was a difficult, hard work. I worked hard on that book. Along with Mez McConnell, my partner in crime. Mez invited me to work with him. And so that's coming out this year. So all three of those are coming out this year, one in 2025. I've written enough for a lifetime. I'm not a real writer. I'm a bootleg writer. So now I'm just going to preach, make disciples, and go fishing. Amen, somebody.
That's amazing, brother. Thank you for listening to the New Churches podcast. As always, please leave a review wherever you download your podcasts. Remember, friends, the tomb is empty and the throne is occupied. We are good news people in a bad news world. So let's go engage our communities with the gospel out of the overflow of a Christ-adoring heart.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.